Four Tennessee Vols were named to the first team All-SEC squad by the league's 14 head coaches. The AP had three first-teamers, one second-teamer, an Offensive Player of the Year, and a Coach of the Year. Plenty of success to go around following Tennessee's 10-2 regular season. That's Josh Ward and the top five games of this season all coming up right here on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome into a Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your first listen, Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. So glad to have you guys with us here today, and this episode is brought to you in part by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. So, as I said in the cold open, we got a fun show coming up here today. We're going to discuss some all-SEC recipients in Segment 1 and Segment 2, top 5 games from this past season. You know the first couple, I would imagine, but what games are going to come in there at number 5 and number 4? Plenty to choose from here from a successful season. Then we got Josh Ward to close out the show for a little Ward Wednesday action. All that and more right here on Locked On Vols. All right, guys, so for Tennessee and the All-SEC teams, quite frankly, there should have been a whole lot more. The AP came out on Monday with SEC Coach of the Year Josh Heupel, SEC Offensive Player of the Year Hendon Hooker, and three first-teamers. That'd be quarterback Hendon Hooker, wide receiver Jalin Hyatt, offensive tackle Darnell Wright, and a second-teamer and defensive lineman Byron Young. The coaches' teams came out on Tuesday afternoon with those four guys all on the first team. Quarterback Hendon Hooker, yeah, wide receiver Jalin Hyatt, offensive tackle Darnell Wright, and defensive lineman Byron Young. So the only caveat there was Byron Young was a second-teamer, all-SEC guy, defensive lineman by the Associated Press, whereas the coaches in the league voted him to the first team following this season. The individual awards such as, you know, Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, Coach of the Year, all that and stuff, that's going to come out later in the week from the coaches. So the coaches kind of staggers it a little bit, where the AP does it with no notice, no embargo to media to get ready for. They do it all at one time, and that happened on Monday. So a pretty good haul, right? I mean, we expected plenty of praise to be given to Hendon Hooker. I mean, he should have been a Heisman finalist. We discussed that on yesterday's show. Shout out to all the Georgia fans for diving into the comments and misspelling words and having improper grammar. That was fun on a Tuesday morning to go there and look at the comments when I got up. But anyway, Hendon Hooker should have been a Heisman Trophy finalist. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it because, again, I continue to say Stetson Bennett was there, and there's no reason for that. But you knew Hendon Hooker was going to be, you know, well represented on these teams and all that. You know, he's an All-American here. He'll probably be a consensus All-American when it's all said and done. He was a Region Player of the Year here, all that type of stuff. He had a phenomenal season. Knew Jalin Hyatt would be on pretty much every single, you know, award listing out there. He was a consensus pick for the first team by the league's coaches. Only a few of those. But Jalin Hyatt definitely deserves that. I mean, he was absolutely everywhere this year. And you knew Darnell Wright. Because, again, I've explained this, you know, over the past couple of weeks or past couple of months, I guess. When a team is super successful offensively, when you have, you know, a 1,000-yard rusher at tailback, or, you know, a first-team All-SEC quarterback, or you're the country's number one offense in total yards and scoring, which Tennessee is on all of those, right? You kind of push one of your offensive linemen to get big-time awards. I mean, Darnell Wright is Tennessee's best offensive lineman, don't get me wrong, but you kind of pick one of your guys and you push them to get all these awards. So he'll be up for the individual, likely for the individual offensive lineman award. You know, he'll, you know, get some All-American love, I would imagine, that being Darnell Wright. I will say this, this is for the AP and the coaches. You know, for an offense that led the nation in scoring, for an offense that led the nation in total yards, there was no other offensive lineman for Tennessee that got any love, not even on the second team. I mean, these are good players. Offensive line, this is the coaches' team here. You got Darnell Wright, you got Warren McClendon of Georgia. Those are two of your tackles, Asirius Torrence and Emil Ekor Jr., those are your guards, and Ricky Stromberg of Arkansas is your center. That's the first team. You go look at the second team, and you've got Nick Broeker of Ole Miss, Javion Cohen of Alabama, Tyler Skeen, he's the tackle of Alabama, Javon Gwynn of South Carolina, and Will Campbell of LSU. I mean, how hard is it to mention Cooper Mays in that group? Now, that might be a little bit more difficult because he plays the center position, but how hard is it to mention a Jerome Carvin in that group? I mean, it takes two to tango, it takes five to play offensive line, and what Tennessee did this season was so successful that I get Darnell Wright, but there should be some more love there on the all-SEC teams from these Tennessee offensive linemen. Byron Young, not going to lie to you, a little surprised that he was a first team by the coaches. You know, he didn't have a bad year, but he was not as consistent. He was not nearly, from a production standpoint, where I thought he would be coming into this season. But again, didn't have a bad year, but congrats to him. You look at the rest of this, you know, I've just got the coaches right here in front of me. You know, Hendon Hooker's the quarterback. Quinshon Judkins as the running back from Ole Miss. Well-deserved. Devon Achene, or whatever his name is, from A&M. Well-deserved at running back. Hyatt Antoine Wells of South Carolina. Remember the guy that was all over the place against Tennessee? Those are your two first-team wide receivers. Tight end Brock Bowers, of course. Who else? You look at the second-team offense. Stetson Bennett's a quarterback. This is interesting, okay? I made a big deal about this on yesterday's show. How, according to the AP All-SEC teams, not your first-team quarterback didn't get a nod as a Heisman finalist. Not your second-team quarterback in Bryce Young, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. He didn't get a nod in terms of the Heisman, which he deserves some Heisman praise as well. But Stetson Bennett, who was not on either team, got the finalist nod, which was a little interesting. But anyway, Stetson Bennett does appear here on the second-team quarterback list. The running backs is Raheem Sanders, really good back, and Jahmyr Gibbs from Arkansas and Alabama. Wide receivers, Ladd McConkie of Georgia, Jonathan Mingo of Ole Miss, Dominic Lovett of Missouri, who's in the transfer portal. You look at the first-team defense, B.J. Ojulari, who's a handful, no doubt about it, defensive end LSU, Derek Hall of Auburn, of course, Jalen Carter, no doubt, defensive lineman of Georgia, and then Byron Young. That's pretty good, strong group of defensive linemen, I'm not going to lie. Your linebackers, Will Anderson Jr. of Alabama. He's an edge player, but he's in this category. You guys know my thoughts on him. Drew Sanders of Arkansas, who declared for the NFL draft the other day. Henry Tuotuo, former Tennessee Vol. Oh, man, again, that I did not. I honestly, and maybe we were blinded because he was so young when he was here. I thought he was attacking. I thought he sensed things. I thought he played downhill when he was in Tennessee. I do not think he's had a great Alabama career, but, you know, he's first-team All-SEC, so there it is. Defensive backs, Emmanuel Forbes of Mississippi State, Chris Smith of Georgia. He is so good. Did you guys see that play in the SEC championship game where it might have been Booty? One of those guys got behind the defense, and, I mean, it was Chris Smith that just sprinted him down. He was easily the fastest player on the field, just sprinted him down to save a touchdown. Kool-Aid McKinstry of Alabama and Jordan Battle, another Alabama guy. That's your secondary. And then the second team defense, you've got Isaiah McGuire, who gave Tennessee's left tackles fits all day long. My guy Wingo of LSU, Nazir Stackhouse of Georgia, and Tyrese Wheat of Mississippi State. Linebackers, Harold Perkins, who's going to be an absolute stud. He's the linebacker, Bumper Pool, longtime SEC veteran of Arkansas, and Nathaniel Watson of Mississippi State. Your defensive backs on the second team, Antonio Johnson of Texas A&M, Keely Ringo, who's a good player, we know that, of Georgia, Keydron Smith of Kentucky, and Dwight McGloverlin of Arkansas. So, I mean, the only beef I have with this is there should be some more offensive line love. Princeton Fan also didn't show up anywhere, but, like, where's Princeton Fan going to show up? Is he going to show up as a running back? Is he going to show up as a is he going to show up as a tight end? He doesn't necessarily fall into the all-purpose yards because, again, he doesn't have that many yards. He's not going to beat out Brock Bowers for first-team tight end. He's not going to bring up I just noticed this. Darnell Washington, all-SEC second-team tight end. Tight end you over there, Georgia. Goodness gracious. But Princeton Fan got a snub a little bit, potentially just from a numbers perspective. But nobody else on the offense and nobody else on the defense deserved to get an all-conference nod. So I'm shocked that there wasn't any more love for the Tennessee offensive line on these first two teams. So anyway, that's that. Alex Golish did not win the Broyles Award given out to the nation's top assistant coach. That went to the TCU assistants. Of course, Alex Golish now
at South Florida, building his staff and starting his program. The Biletnikoff Award for best wide receiver in the country, that will be announced, the winner, on Thursday. The Joe Moore finalists will be announced at some point this week, maybe today. There's still some more awards to be paying attention to, but Tennessee well represented. We'll see what the coaches, who the coaches vote as coach of the year. I don't think Josh Heupel's made too many friends from an Eli Drinkwitz, from a Shane Beamer. I don't think those two guys will vote for Josh Heupel, but be interested to see if Josh Heupel can sweep coach of the year honors and if Hendon Hooker can sweep offensive player of the year honors. So those were some all SEC teams, and Tennessee getting a whole lot of love. Four first team selections for the coaches poll. That was the most for a Tennessee program since 2006, when it had four first team selections as well. So again, a lot to be happy about there if you are the University of Tennessee. What were the five best games from this past season? We'll count them down and we'll discuss when we return right here on Locked On Vols. But hey, this show is brought to you in part by LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Post your job, use the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates that have just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize them and eventually hire them if you want. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus the leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs lets you find qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and for free. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, guys, welcome back into it, your Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. You can always find me, your host, Eric Kane, on Twitter, @_Kaner, and @LockedOnVols. All right, so I've been telling you, I've been doing some end-of-the-year writing over at VolQuest.com, been doing a whole lot of fun. Posted this story, top five games from this football season. I posted that over the weekend. I encourage you to go check it out. Going to give you a little bit of a teaser here. But go ahead and sign up for your VolQuest.com subscription if you haven't already. $10 for 1 year of VolQuest.com. It is a really good stocking stuffer here for the Christmas season. Okay, guys, so let's look into it. Top five games from this past football season. There's plenty to choose from, right? I mean, we all know Alabama is going to be the number one game. We know that. Florida is going to be up there. The win against LSU is probably going to be up there somewhere. But what are those, last couple of spots? Or, what are some more that we're forgetting? What about Pittsburgh? What about Kentucky? What about Vanderbilt? What were the top five games from this year? Let's go in reverse order. So number five, and, this is what I chose. You guys can feel free to disagree. Fill up the comment section. Dive in those DMs. Tweet me @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. I picked the Vanderbilt win for number five. And here's why. I mean, the expectation is to beat Vanderbilt. I understand that. You should beat Vanderbilt. But coming off what was the disaster in Columbia, South Carolina, the week before, where you were positioned out of the college football playoffs, when you had speculation about locker room fights and culture issues and all that stuff that we talked about here that was a non-issue, how was Tennessee, you lost your starting quarterback with a torn ACL, how was Tennessee going to respond? Oh yeah, in a game where Cedric Tillman wasn't available, Brew McCoy wasn't available, Gerald Mincy wasn't available, Trayvon Flowers wasn't available, Brandon Turnage, Danico Slaughter, and Warren Burrell all weren't available for this football game. How was Tennessee going to respond? 56-0 on the road in a monsoon with Joe Milton, the quarterback. Yes, I know, Vanderbilt quit there in the second half. I get it. They turned over. They didn't do anything. But what a response from Tennessee. That's what I was most impressed with, and that's why I put this game on the list. That's why it makes a list. I understand there's others that could have fit in here, but that's why it made my list, because it was a response to where Tennessee could have folded. Tennessee could have turned around and said, all right, we're going to lose this, or not. That would have been hard to lose to Vanderbilt. But then again, Vanderbilt won against Florida. Vanderbilt won against Kentucky. Vanderbilt had been playing some pretty good football leading into the game. We remember all the conversations leading up to that football game, but the response is why Tennessee gets this Vanderbilt game gets on the list here. My phone is going absolutely berserk. Gotta put that down there. Sorry, guys. Anyway, that is why, you know, the Vanderbilt game is on here. 56-0 with a backup quarterback in Joe Milton. He started off hot. Tennessee's run game, a season-high 362 yards. Jalen Wright went off four touchdown runs of 52, 50, and 80, and 83 yards. He had a punt return for a touchdown. Tennessee had it all in this football game and pitched the shutout. What a response by Tennessee, 56-0 over Vanderbilt. That's why it came in number five on my list. Number four. Is it Kentucky? Is it Pittsburgh? Is it LSU? It is the Pittsburgh game. It's the Pittsburgh game, and here's why. What happens if Tennessee does not win this football game? Tennessee was not good offensively. It was not, if you remember, Tennessee wasn't good offensively. Tennessee could not run the football whatsoever against that Pittsburgh defense and Pat Narduzzi. Tennessee was trailing by 10 points twice in the first half. Tennessee needed overtime. Tennessee had a touchdown call back in overtime, but still found a way to pull it out. Tennessee went to Cedric Tillman 18 times in this football game. Jalin Hyatt 13 times in this football game. In contrast, Brew McCoy had four targets all game long. You know, what if Tennessee didn't win this game? Would they still have found a way to win 10 games? Maybe. Would they have turned around and beat Florida 2 weeks later? I don't know. Maybe. But what a win for Tennessee on a day where Tennessee wasn't its best. Defensively, really buckled down, in my opinion, after the 76-yard touchdown run from Israel Abanacanda. Gavin Bartholomew went 57 yards down the sideline where he hurdled Trayvon Flowers. Tennessee responded after some early defensive struggles. Trayvon Flowers rebounded with an acrobatic, great interception in the back of the end zone. He later had the third down sack to make it fourth and goal from the 23-yard line, a do-or-die situation at the end of the game. Of course, he muffed the punt, too. It was a roller-coaster-type game for Trayvon Flowers. But Tennessee's defense was aggressive. They knocked out Keaton Slovis in this game. They beat up on the backup a little bit as well. Tennessee found a way to win on the road on a day where it wasn't great, and Tennessee started the season off 2-0. The Pittsburgh overtime win in the Steel City comes in at number four on my list. Number three. It was a beatdown on the Bayou. I love saying that phrase. Tennessee goes on the road and absolutely hammers LSU, who turned out to be a pretty good ball club. Sure, it slipped up late in the season and lost a game it shouldn't have, but it made the SEC championship. And so what if it has a 9-4 record at season end? That's a much better LSU team than what I think what we all thought after Tennessee just laid the whooping on them. But Tennessee laid that. They opened up a can of, you know, you can fill in the rest. That's what Tennessee did. It came off an emotionally high win against Florida. Then Tennessee had the off week and then went down to Baton Rouge and won 40-13. If you remember from the opening kickoff, it was a muff kickoff. Tennessee recovers, marches down, and scores, I believe, a field goal on that drive. Nonetheless, Jabari Small had a really good day. He ran for 130 and two scores. Hyatt scored twice. Chase McGrath, I believe, was SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. 4-for-4 in field goals. Byron Young had 2.5 sacks in that football game. You were on a high after beating Florida. You had an off week, and then you went on the road and just hammered a quality SEC opponent. And LSU managed only 55 yards on the ground. Tennessee's rush defense was incredible that day against an LSU team that was pretty good by season's end. It was. And so that's a really good win for Tennessee. That comes in at number three on the list, 40-13 on the road at LSU. The number two game, well, I think you guys know where I'm going with this. Number two is going to be Florida, and of course, number one is going to be Alabama. But number two, Tennessee 38, Florida 33. Tennessee had lost 16 of the last 17 matchups against Florida. Tennessee won against Florida back in 2016. That was the last time Tennessee had knocked off Florida. Many times in this series, Tennessee has been the better team and have found ways to give it away. You thought for a second that is exactly what Tennessee was going to do on September the 24th of this past football season. Tennessee went up big, you know, led by, 38-21 with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter and then allowed Florida to come back. Anthony Richardson had an absolute Heisman-like day. He counted for over 500 yards of total offense. So did Hendon Hooker, mind you. Hendon Hooker had, three? Let's see here. I've got it written down somewhere. Hendon Hooker had I don't have it here. I'm sorry, guys. Anyway, we'll talk about best individual performances probably later in the week. But Hendon Hooker had, like, I want to say 4 total touchdowns. He ran for over 100 yards. He threw for over 300 yards. He was phenomenal. He accounted for, I want to say, about 467 yards of total offense. He was incredible in this football game. He had his Heisman moment in this football game, in my opinion. Maybe you can argue Alabama, but this game put Hendon Hooker on the absolute map. There was that drive before, my favorite drive of the year, before halftime, where Tennessee marches 92 yards on, like, oh, what was it? 92 yards. I should have wrote this down, guys. I'm sorry. 92 yards on, like, a little over a minute. And there was a point in time where Tennessee was at its own 12-yard line. It was 3rd and 10. Hendon Hooker dropped back, and he got pressure from up the middle, evaded the pressure, hit Princeton Fant for the first down right at the markers, went on to hit Ramel Keaton down the sideline with that amazing catch, scored on Brew McCoy coming across the field, hitting it for the one-yard touchdown, and Tennessee led 17-14 at the break. And just kept the pedal to the metal. What a game for Hendon Hooker. And he was banged up in that game as well. What a football game to get that monkey off your back. Tennessee 38-33. Tennessee held on towards the end, applied pressure on the last play of the game from Byron Young, and Kamal Haddon came away with that game-sealing interception. You were nervous there, but Tennessee got the win, and what an environment in Knoxville. That is my number two game of the season. And then number one, this isn't rocket science here, right, guys? 52-49 Tennessee over Alabama. 52-49 Tennessee over Alabama. The Jalin Hyatt game, 6 receptions, 207 yards, 5 touchdowns. He scored several times, twice to give Tennessee the lead, twice in the first half to give Tennessee a 2-touchdown advantage. Darnell Wright blocked Will Anderson Jr. in this football game, allowed no pressures, no hits, and no sacks. Darnell Wright had a well of a game. Hendon Hooker threw 5 touchdowns, all to Jalin Hyatt. Tennessee responded late in the fourth quarter. Dallas Turner had a scoop and score to take the lead in that football game, and Tennessee comes right back and ties it at 49 apiece. Tennessee knocks off number 3 Alabama in the Cigar game. The goalpost comes down. They storm the field. If you remember, guys, I was on that field for like 45 minutes trying to get off. what an environment. That is absolutely the number one game of the season for Tennessee, knocking a streak of 15 straight wins for Alabama over Tennessee, and Tennessee won that football game. It wasn't hard to come up with that list, but should I put Kentucky in there, that 44-6 blowout victory? Should I put another football game in there outside of the Vanderbilt game? You tell me. Fill up the comment sections. Tweet me at _Caner. Top 5 games for Tennessee football this season. Number 5, the Vanderbilt win. Number 4, the Pittsburgh win in overtime. Number 3, the LSU beatdown on the Bayou. Number 2, Tennessee over Florida. And number 1, Tennessee knocking off Alabama. All right. We got plenty more to get into here on this edition of Locked On Vols, but as always, I want to give a quick shout out to someone that a company that we love and that supports this show, and that's BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to esports. They got it all. That's at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts like the one you're listening and watching to right now, you check that out over at betonline.net as well. They have them there too. Always the fastest and easiest way to get in your betting fix. They have the college football playoff lines that are set. They've still got the Heisman Trophy lines out there, the finalists. Unfortunately, no Hendon Hooker, but they were announced the other day. You can get in and find some value on all that at betonline.net. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. It's Wednesday, so let's welcome on our friend Josh Ward of 99.1 The Sports Animal, Josh_Ward, for a little Ward Wednesday action. Josh, how are we doing today?
Eric, doing great. Great to be with you.
Well, obviously the big news item of the week, or lack thereof, Hendon Hooker not named one of the 4 finalists for the Heisman Trophy presentation. Knew Hendon Hooker wouldn't win this award, especially after the injury and the late loss to South Carolina, but a lot of people upset, and I mean, I went a little monologue on Tuesday's show about it right here on Locked On Vols, that Hendon Hooker wasn't named a finalist, whereas Stetson Bennett was. What's your thoughts on that whole fiasco?
Well, I'm disappointed for Hendon Hooker. I thought that he would be invited. I'm not surprised that he wasn't. I didn't think that it was a slam dunk at all. And if we knew that he wasn't going to win, which I think anybody paying attention knew that Hendon wasn't going to win the award, then that should leave open the door that he wouldn't get invited. I have my own opinions on the Heisman Trophy Award. I think that there should be five invited finalists every year. I think they should do that. I mean, we typically know finalists three and four often are not going to win it. And oftentimes, by the time they're announcing, we know who number one is. So I think they should have five invited every year. I also hate what the award has become, where it's a quarterback award for the most part among title contenders. And if a team loses, even if it's a great team, then the player who is a candidate is knocked no matter how he performs. It's absurd. So Hendon obviously was also knocked because he was injured, which is unfair to him, but not being able to play in the final week, and he's essentially just removed from the conversation. And that's a lot of what this award is. But it's a quarterback award on mostly national title contending teams. So Hendon was eliminated when Tennessee lost to South Carolina. Bryce Young was eliminated when Alabama lost to LSU. Bijan Robinson was eliminated for playing the position he plays. That's who I actually think should be the winner. And I don't even think he was really brought up, you know, the last 2 months of the season. So nope. I think the award is mostly silly. It's a huge award, so we talk about it a ton on my show, and especially if Hendon Hooker is going to be in it. But I think it's really a shame what the Heisman Trophy has become.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and by the way, just to add in, that is not a knock on the four candidates. I think the four candidates are all awesome football players. I think they're all terrific, Stetson included. But the award itself, I just have so many problems with. And a lot of that really means I have problems with a lot of the voters. There are a lot of voters out there, more than 900 people voting on the award, and many of them should not be.
Yeah, I agree. That's well put. You know, I knock the AP voters all the time because I know many AP voters who don't watch football. And so I would imagine that if there's over 900 voters for the Heisman Trophy, there's probably some of those people that fall in that same category. And a lot of people that do it the right way. I mean, I wouldn't have time
yes,
to do it.
Yes, no doubt. Yeah. Like last year, I had a huge issue with Will Anderson not being there. And Aiden Hutchinson was a terrific player. I'll bet a lot of people who voted for him didn't know who he was a month before they voted for him. Yep. And I'll bet a lot of people found out who Will Anderson was or exactly what he had done after they'd cast their vote and they saw all the outrage for Anderson not getting voted for to go to New York. So, you know, there's a lot of complaints about bias. I don't even think it's a bias issue. I think it's a lazy issue when it comes to the voting.
And last thing on this, I'll just make one more comment. I just get your thoughts on it. I agree with you. I think all four candidates are awesome football players. I love the story of Stetson Bennett. I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a Georgia fan, he really is a legend, to be completely honest. Love that story. I also think it is nothing short of an embarrassment that Stetson Bennett is in New York. Nothing short of an embarrassment, because you're exactly right. It is nothing but the quarterback of title contending teams. You have the odds on favorites in Caleb Williams for the last, 6 weeks or whatever, and then you have three college football playoff quarterbacks. I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. It's made for ESPN TV. That's all it is.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I've thought that Stetson has been underrated here the last year or so, because I do think he's so important to what George does. And statistically, he is kind of knocked. Like, you can pull up some of their biggest games that they've played in, including Tennessee. And he's just not a part of the game by the end because they've rolled up opponents and they're just getting out of there. You know, South Carolina early in the season, they pulled him in the middle of the third quarter because they were just crushing that team. So he is knocked statistically, but there is a gap between being underrated and him not being appreciated for how important he is for what George has done as a team and saying he's a Heisman finalist. So that comes back to he's the quarterback of a contending team. And again, I think he's really important for what they've done. That doesn't make him a Heisman finalist. And if he wins another title, he becomes a college football legend. Two titles for anybody is a massive deal. And then the background of his story to get there, it's an incredible story. But that doesn't mean he's one of the foremost deserving people to be a Heisman finalist either. I get why he's there, and I hate that he'll now be knocked, you know, as a Heisman finalist. Like, it's swinging back and forth too far. I think he's a terrific player on the best team in college football. But, you know, Jalen Carter's missed too much time, but this is another case where Stetson's probably not the best player on his team. And that's why the award has not been what it's supposed to be for far too long.
And again, he's not the best player on his offense. I mean, if we're going MVP of the offense, a little Brock Bowers, but again, he is a good player.
Brock's not eligible. He doesn't play the right position.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so speaking of the best team in the country, Georgia's number one, Michigan's two, TCU is three, which just cracks me up that Ohio State is four. And when Boog Carrington, or the chairman of the College Football Playoff Board, whatever his name is, when asked about it, he just kind of deflected and said, oh, no, that wasn't really brought up to put Ohio State four. Yeah, okay, trying to avoid a rematch. But Georgia gets Ohio State in the semifinal, which is just hilarious to me, where Michigan will, all intents and purposes, I don't want to say skip to the national title game because that's disrespectful, but it's got an easier road. That's the College Football Playoff field. Tennessee, Clemson in the Orange Bowl. What do you like about Tennessee's bowl matchup?
Well, I love the storyline of the matchup. Obviously, you have the orange versus orange in the orange, which has been played up and will be for the
orange
next
helmets?
Few weeks. Winner gets to keep them, although Tennessee fans, I think, are good with giving them up. So I think you'll see orange helmets versus white helmets in this one. I can say at least maybe smoky gray or black could be on the table. Orange is the last one that'll be on the table for Tennessee. But I like the storyline of it with Dabo's comments a few weeks ago. As harmless as I actually think they were regarding Tennessee, it was, I think, more of a motivational message to his team, which they didn't necessarily back up. But Tennessee versus Clemson on the recruiting trail has had a lot of battles and will continue to moving forward. And you're not too far from each other, Knoxville and Clemson. So so much there. It's a test for Joe Milton, really good test ahead of next year. It also could lead the storyline into the offseason, depending on how he performs at that position for Tennessee in the bowl game. And we'll see opt-out information, all that. So this is not this is not all of your best versus all your best. I recognize that. But in terms of bowl games and looking for matchups and storylines, this is as good as it gets, I think, outside of the playoffs. So I'm excited to see what Tennessee's offense is able to do. Some other guys that will have opportunities to try to build on going into the offseason. And Tennessee fans have wanted a piece of Clemson, I think, and they get it here in this bowl game.
And last but not least, man, it's been a busy week. Alex Golish, Tennessee's offensive coordinator, Titans coach, heading to be the head coach in USF, South Florida. How big of a loss is this for Tennessee's program?
So my thought has been two different conversations that both can be true at the same time. Number one, Alex Golish is a big loss. He is a very well-respected coach. He was important with what Tennessee was doing offensively and what Josh Heupel had continued to build over the last few years from UCF to Knoxville and now Alex Golish moving on. So he's a really important coach to replace, and there will be some adjustments to have to make with Golish leaving. That being said, Tennessee's offense, I think, will be fine with Josh Heupel continuing to lead the way, and they'll go hire a good offensive assistant. And I think there are a number of ways they can do this, but they have to replace Golish as a tight ends coach. So that's probably your first objective here. And then you can promote. Titles can be one thing. Roles can be another. But Tennessee is an attractive spot because of the success they've been able to have. Working for Josh Heupel, I think, is something that a lot of coaches out there like the idea of, and now you can make a lot of money doing so. Coaching in the SEC, I think finding somebody to help recruiting can be a part of this conversation too. So it's a big spot to fill, but I think Josh Heupel is a coach that you can trust to find the right kind of candidate, and he'll have a number of connections to go make the right kind of hire. So it can be a big loss, but it can also be just fine for Tennessee moving forward to have to replace Alex Golish.
He is at Josh_Ward on Twitter, the host, co-host of Josh and Swain with VFL Jason Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal, noon to 3 every weekday. Josh, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thank you.
Again, as always, thank you to Josh Ward. And hey, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Vols, your Wednesday show. Got plenty more coming up for Thursday and Friday. Tennessee Hoots back in action. And of course, we'll continue to recap what was Tennessee's 10-2 regular season here before Tennessee gets ready for Orange Bowl play. So a lot to get into the rest of the week as well. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Make Locked On Sports Today, your second listen, the biggest stories of the day, take of the day, plus game recaps from the day before, all that and more. That is Locked On Sports Today. Guys, same place, same time. We'll do it again tomorrow. This is Locked On Vols.